Hi class, after understanding about the understanding and foundation of the employee behavior in an organization, which is a most important component of organizational behavior, let's learn about a very interesting topic, motivation, which is useful in the subject of organizational behavior as well as for human resource management. Well, what is motivation? Motivation is something which has come from a Latin word, motere, to move. That means it intrinsically makes you move towards a particular direction, and that's how you behave. In dictionary, they say motivation is a reason or reasons for acting or behaving in a particular way. Fairs and Chaplin has defined the motivation as the forces within us that activate our behavior and direct it towards one goal rather than the other. Basically, there should be some need, hunger, desire. When it is there, you move towards achieving those things that will be your goal. And that will motivate you, that will make you move towards achieving that goal. So let's understand this concept of motivation through a small story. Well, the Brooklyn Bridge, that is one of the wonderful bridge built in USA, you must have heard about. Let's understand how it was built. John Roebling, one of the great engineer, has got an idea of building up a bridge which was unimaginable up till now. And when he gave this idea to other engineers and people in US, all of them said that it is impossible to build. It's a crazy idea. You should not go for it. But this engineer, John Roebling, has got a strong desire to build this bridge. And he tried to convince many people, but nobody was convinced. Finally, he tried to convince his own son, Washington, who finally got convinced. And they started calling a team of engineers and other people to start this bridge. Well, it started well, but after few months, suddenly the partly constructed bridge collapsed, which led to death of John Roebling, and even Washington got severely injured. He was in a hospital, ICU. He was in coma. It has led to him not being able to move, not being able to talk or walk. He was lying down in the bed for a long time. But his mental acuity was still strong. He thought of starting this bridge again. He tried to tell this to his wife through a sign language, but nobody was ready to come because they felt it's a crazy idea. Already somebody has died and somebody has been in a comatose condition for some time, and now also if that person is just not able to move, not able to walk, not able to talk, what can be done? The idea where they have got properly what should be done is now dead. It should not be done. Once, when Washington was lying on the bed, he saw the curtains open due to breeze and he saw a sunray there. And that motivated him thinking, saying that he can do this. Nothing is impossible in this world. Which led him to develop a sign language with his one finger to tap his wife's forearm to tell her what to do through a code of language which he developed, which only his wife used to understand. And then he told her, his wife, to call a team of engineers. And he, with this sign language, he went on giving instructions to his wife, which was conveyed to the team of engineers, how to build the bridge. It went on for 14 years like that, and finally the Brooklyn Bridge was constructed. You can see how wonderful this story tells us about a strong desire in a person, that something which seems to be impossible also can be made possible by this kind of intrinsic motivation. Well, as we know, motivation has got three aspects or three key elements. One is vigor, the second one is direction, and the third one is diligence. We have seen vigor, which is the level of efforts an individual puts in achieving the goal. Here we have seen in a story the amount of efforts these engineers, John Roebling and his son Washington, has put in to achieve the goal is unremarkable. So that's the vigor they have got. Then comes the direction. They have got the direction of building a bridge, which was one pointed direction. Nobody else in the world had, in spite of trying maximum, they were not able to shift them away from this idea of doing this, even though it looked to be impossible to most of the people. And then comes diligence. The duration for which the vigor is sustained. Here you can see, in spite of losing his own father and himself becoming so severely injured that he was not able to talk, walk or do anything except the use of one finger. And with that, he has built the bridge by his code of language which he developed by the use of tapping his one finger to his wife's forehand. And that's the wonder. You can understand what motivation can do. So let's understand about the whole aspect of motivation. What are the learning objectives? We want to understand what employee motivation is. What are the different types of motivation? Be it extrinsic motivation or intrinsic motivation. Let's also understand about early theories of motivation, which was started with Maslow's theory of hierarchy of needs, Herzberg's hygiene motivation factor theory, McClelland's theory of needs, affiliation need and power need and the achievement need, and other latest theories, contemporary theories, which were towards goal setting theory, the expectancy theory by Victor Hume, etc. So we are going to see how these theories can be applied in motivating the employees in the organization setup, so that the leaders or the top management of the organization can get maximum output from their employees and they can achieve the organizational goals at the same time, and individual and societal goals also can be taken care of. So after we define motivation, what it is and what are the essential elements of motivation, let's understand it is what are the factors which motivate people. Well, the same factors may not motivate all the people in the same way. So there are various people whose way of behavior will differ. Some people will be motivated by the type of work that they are doing, by without even getting the right kind of salary or rewards, they will be motivated because they are intrinsically having the strong desire to do that. While some people will need only the external factors to be motivated. That's why we can divide this motivation into two types. One is intrinsic motivation and the other is extrinsic motivation. Well, intrinsic motivation is due to internal factors within the psyche of the person. It will be based on the internal locus of control, that type of personality a person usually will be having. While the extrinsic motivation, it will be due to external factors in the form of appreciation, salary, etc. Intrinsic motivation, it requires very little supervision to get the work done because they are doing it with passion and dedication from within. Nobody else should go and tell them that this is the way you are supposed to do. And if you do this, you will be given appreciation or a promotion and things like that. While in case of extrinsic motivation, when the task is critical and if the expert is not intrinsically motivated, then the rewards in the form of higher salary, higher perks, big certificate of appreciation in public, etc., such extrinsic motivators will help them to work in the right direction. Usually those who are having intrinsic motivation, they are very punctual and they always excel in their work. While those who are extrinsically motivated, they will take interest and participation if external reward is going to be given to them, which is known to them well in advance, and periodically they have been rewarded by in the form of appreciation or in the form of higher salary, promotion, etc. In case of intrinsic motivation, it is achieved by greater autonomy, where a person within himself has got such kind of drive to do it, no need for anybody else to tell him what to do, how to do, etc. And they feel fun at work because they feel work is not something a burdensome to them or it is going to create fatigue or excessive tiredness in them, because they feel that work is something which is like a play, and it also encourages creativity in them to do some innovation, to do it in a beautiful way which nobody else has done earlier. While in case of those who are motivated by extrinsic motivation, you have to motivate to acquire a new skill and knowledge for them, so that when you are sending them for training program, you'll have to tell them that after attaining this training program, you will get one increment more. For example, in Mumbai, we have seen in Mumbai Municipal Corporation, the doctors and nurses are told to go for a diploma in hospital administration evening part-time course, and if they finish that, then they are given one increment more. So that's a kind of extrinsic motivation given to them to attend such courses, so that they are able to do the administration work in a better way. One should avoid extrinsic motivation to be given to a person who is totally intrinsically motivated. For example, when somebody is having a great flair for community work, and if that fellow is passionately doing it, if you tell him that, okay, if you'll do this kind of community work per month, I'll be paying you 5,000 rupees, then in that case, he will be mentally disturbed because he will feel that this is what you value for my passion for the community that I am having. So on the contrary, he may not agree to these kind of extrinsic motivators for them. So let's understand about the early theories of motivation. There are four such theories. The first and foremost is Abraham Maslow's need hierarchy theory. Well, what Abraham Maslow told us in this theory is that all the individuals have got these five kinds of needs. it's like a pyramid, one can see in the diagram. There are certain needs which are lower order needs in the form of physiological needs and safety needs, and certain needs are of the higher order needs in the form of social needs, esteem needs, and self-actualization needs. Let's understand each need in detail. What we mean by physiological needs is basically a person needs food, shelter, clothing, which in the organization level, if we see for an employee, it will be salary, good working conditions, the sufficient amount of perks whereby a housing rent allowance, etc. can be given, so that he can take education allowance for the children, etc. is given, so that he can take care of his family needs, which are basic needs for him. Then comes, once a person's physiological needs are fulfilled, he wants that his job should be secure, his job should be permanent, he should not be chucked out of the organization as per the wish of the boss. Whenever he needs him, he will be kept. Whenever he doesn't need him, he will be told to go. That's not the way he wants to work. So he needs security, secured tenure for his job. He needs that the safety of his physical health and mental health is taken care of in the organization, whereby the health hazards which may be there, or the safety hazards which are likely to be there in any manufacturing industry or a service industry, should be taken care of, so that his safety is not adversely affected, he doesn't get injury. These are some of the safety needs in the short run. At the same time, he wants that when he retires also, he should be safely placed financially, so that his after retirement also he should get such benefits in the form of gratuity, provident fund, etc., so that his future life is also safe financially. And probably he also would love that his mediclaim is being taken care of by the organization, so that at present as well as in future, whenever he falls sick or he is involved with some accident, the cost of these things are increasing day by day, and if the organization can take care of through a group insurance scheme and all, then he will feel better to work for such a company. So that's a safety need of the person. Then comes the higher order needs in the form of social needs. Love and affection, friendship is something which everybody wants psychologically in this world. Even when a child is born, it needs the love and affection of the mother and the relatives. It smiles when the mother enters the home, and he wants the reciprocation to be done by the mother and the other relatives. So these are the basic social needs which one wants. So a person, when he is working for the organization, he needs a good interpersonal relations with his subordinates, with his colleagues, with his superiors, so that he is mentally happy to work for such an organization. After achieving those social needs, people would love to take care of their self-esteem in the form of promoting them, in the form of giving them higher salary because of their experience, because of their expertise, etc. So that, and a bigger car, a bigger office, bigger table in front of him, and people taking care of his needs whenever he needs anything, so that's how his self-esteem need will be fulfilled. And the final of the needs are self-actualization needs, which means a person achieves whatever is up to the best of his potential. He is more creative, he is nothing beyond remains for him to achieve. Well, only 5% of the people in the whole world are probably self-actualized people. The examples can be Mahatma Gandhi, J.R.D. Tata, Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, etc. So these are the five needs which Abraham Maslow has told us. Well, this is a very important theory, which is the one of the first theories one can say for motivation. But according to Abraham Maslow, usually the lower needs should be first fulfilled, then only a person goes for the higher needs. So there are some criticisms of this theory also. At times we have seen, even though a person has got higher need fulfilled, he still wants even the lower needs more and more. Even though he is fulfilled with the social needs, that he has got a position, he has got people to talk to him, take his advice, etc. But he still wants a higher salary and higher perks. In different cultures in the world also, we have seen people giving importance to different kind of these needs. If we see the step by step, the lower needs to the higher needs that is shown in the pyramid is not necessarily in the same order for different culture people in the world. Secondly, some of the experts in management and HR experts tell that what theory has been given by Maslow is a theory of needs or need hierarchy theory, and it's not necessarily a motivation theory per se. So with this, the further experts in HR field or management field have come out with the new theories of motivation. The second theory one can say is theory X and theory Y, which McGregor has given, Douglas McGregor. He says that the managers have got two kinds of views for their subordinates. Some managers are theory X managers. They believe that people inherently do not like to work and they must be coerced or forced into performing their work. So micromanagement should be done. They should be told exactly what to do, how to do, and they should be supervised every now and then to see to it that they are performing well. And they should be rewarded if they are giving better results, and they should be punished if they are not working up to the mark. So that's theory X. While on the opposite side, theory Y is something where the managers believe that people see work as natural as play or rest. They are in a way intrinsically motivated, one can say. An average person wants to take responsibility, and every level of employee has got intelligence and creativity. So they can give innovative ideas and they can sort out their own problems many times. So the manager need not supervise the employees every now and then. They should be given autonomy and they should be given the extrinsic motivation in the form of appreciation, etc., so that they will still work better. They should not be thought of as they are useless people, they don't want to work, or they have to be forced to work and all. So if we want to link this Douglas McGregor's theory to Maslow's theory, then one can see that theory Y kind of managers, what they believe is basically regarding the higher order needs of the Maslow's theory. But however, there is no clear-cut evidence which has been found that always it is like that. And Douglas McGregor himself actually believed that it is better to use the theory why for motivating people. But if we see in practice, we are going to see different kinds of employees. Some of them may need theory X type of behavior by the managers also, because suppose they are really not bothered for the work, they don't have the right attitude to work, in that case probably one may have to supervise them more often and get the work done from them. So with this, let's go to the next theory, that is Herzberg's two-factor theory. Frederick Herzberg has given around 100 questions to accountants and the clerks to ask them whether they are satisfied with the job or not. And he analyzed those questionnaires and found out that the factors for the motivation are not the same for the factors for the dissatisfaction. When a person is given all the routine things, as we have seen in the lower needs of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like physiological needs and safety needs, when they are fulfilled, it doesn't mean that the person will be having job satisfaction. It just means that the person is not dissatisfied with the job. So according to him, these are the hygiene factors, and the hygiene factors in case of organization includes quality of supervision, the salary, working conditions, job security and interpersonal relationships among the colleagues and between the subordinate and the superior. So one wonders, usually in English dictionary when we say that the opposite of satisfaction is dissatisfaction. But according to Frederick Herzberg, as far as job is concerned, when a person is not satisfied with the job, that doesn't mean that he is having job dissatisfaction. He may not be having job dissatisfaction because his hygiene factors are taken care of, but still he won't be satisfied with the job because the motivating factors are not taken care of. Now, what are the motivating factors? Job intrinsically rewarding to the person in the form of work itself. When a person has got interesting work based on his liking, then he will be motivated to work and he will get job satisfaction wherever he goes if this kind of work is given to him. When he is given a promotion, when he has got a growth opportunity, when he is getting a recognition and achievement, he will be motivated to work better. So, if we consider the Maslow's theory of hierarchy of needs, then the upper three needs or the higher level needs are mainly towards the motivating factors as per the Herzberg's theory. However, there are limitations to this theory, and there are some HR experts who also has given certain criticisms about his theory. They say that the mode of research that he has done in the form of asking questions to only accountants and clerks cannot be extrapolated to all kinds of industries, and it's a self-report that people are giving whether they are satisfied or not. So everybody in the right frame of mind, whether they are answering at that time or not. So there is a lot of subjectivity, and it cannot overall measure the satisfaction level of all the people that way. And hence, according to many of the experts, they say that although Herzberg theory is something which has been done like a laboratory, some experiment like thing, he has used a questionnaire and all, but since it cannot be extrapolated to all kinds of industry, still it has got limitation. And the reliability of the data can be questionable. And finally, overall measure of satisfaction may not be found out by this theory. So then comes the McLellan theory of needs, where David McLellan has given us three kinds of needs for people's behavior. There are some people who have got need for achievement, while there are other people who have got need for power, while there are some other people who may be having need for affiliation. Now let's understand what does it mean. Need for achievement. That means these are the people who will be motivated when they achieve certain goal, which is not very easy, but at the same time, not difficult, absolutely impossible to achieve. So, a stretched goal, one can say. At the same time, the supervisor should give them the right kind of resources to achieve them, so that they can achieve these goals. So, their need for achievement will be fulfilled, and then they will be working with full vigor, diligence, and vitality. Then there are other people who have got need for power. That means they want their word to be final word. They want that people should follow what they are telling. And when they are posted in such a post, then definitely they will be more motivated to work. Not necessarily everybody has to be posted in a top leadership position. Then only his need for power may be fulfilled. He can be just a supervisor. For example, in local body like municipality, when a supervisor is getting work done from say 10 to 15 sweepers, also his need for power is taken care of, and then he will be motivated to work with full diligence and vigor in such a post. So when his need for power is fulfilled, he will be motivated to work. Then there are third kind of people, some of them who have got need for affiliation. Now what we mean by affiliation, it means that these people are social and they want to have interaction with people in a friendly way in a society. So most likely these kind of people are having extrovert type of personality. What we have learned earlier in the personality, while we learned about the understanding of behavior of employees in the organization. So when such people who have got need for affiliation, if they are posted as a managerial person, especially in PRO, public relation officers, then his need for affiliation will be fulfilled, or in a marketing job, his need for affiliation will be fulfilled. So naturally, those who have got need for affiliation, if they are given such kinds of jobs, then they will be more motivated to work, and organization goals also will be achieved in a better way. Well, McLellan basically focused mainly on achievement. So what he used to say, that jobs with high level of self-responsibility, autonomy, and feedback directly from the customers, and average level of risk as far as the goal to be achieved is there, that means he'll be able to achieve the goal, and then it is going to motivate him in a better way. So that's for McLellan's theory. And let's understand about the contemporary theories of the motivation.